Welcome to the HQ, where happiness lives. It's the key to grow and become better fathers. So turn up the volume and thanks for hanging out with us. Learn how to overcome your divorce.
What is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the HQ. Today is March 5th, 2018. My name is Rob. I'll be your host for the show. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome, guys. We normally do these types of things every Monday and Friday. Mondays being our interviews and Fridays being our shorter solo rounds with me. But today, guys, I have an awesome guest lined up, and his name is Adam Churchill. He's a trainer, motivator, an aspiring speaker, and just an all-around good dude. I got to ask him about his life, growing up in a divorced family, being on all types of medication since he was just a teenager, and how psychotropic drugging is a disaster for kids and relationships, and how he uses a holistic approach now as opposed to all those medications to help him with his daily life. So you guys got to check out this entire episode. I wish we had more time because he has a great piece of wisdom inside of him that needs to get out. And, you know, I will probably get him back on another show so we can ask him some more stuff, all right? So make sure to listen to the whole thing. He's such a great, loving, caring dude and is on a great path to changing what the world thinks about health, all right? And if you guys aren't part of the Facebook group yet, please come join us. We have hundreds of men going through all types of scenarios and things, and they're just all throughout different stages of their divorce, and they're coming in and getting advice and also getting the emotional support, because it's important to keep constantly work on ourselves after a divorce, all right? So come join the group. The links will all be in the show notes. And so without further ado, let's get to the interview, guys. What is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the HQ. I have a very, very special guest with me here today. His name is Adam Churchill. He's a personal trainer. He's a motivator. He's a public speaker. What isn't he? So I'm glad to have him on today because we have a really, very, like a really, really important topic that we need to talk about. And I'm so glad to have him on. Adam, thank you so much for coming on, brother.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, man. And I guess we got put on each other's radar through our mutual friend, Olga, which I love her to death. So I can't thank her enough for putting her in contact with you so that we can, you know, get a little, you know, vulnerable, and we can let loose a little bit and get to know you a little bit. So start us off with, like, you know, how you got started with this journey.
So my real kickoff into the fitness journey was actually around the age of about 21 to 22. I was this skinny guy who wanted to be big and ripped and jacked like all the rest of the big guys, because the skinny guy's biggest insecurity is the fact that he's tiny and skinny, and, well, skinny guys don't want to look like that. But when I had started, the person who started teaching me how to do it correctly, because I had everything off, I was doing full body 3.5 hour workouts and wondering why it wasn't working. When I showed a friend of mine who I met on an online computer game what I was doing and what I was on, he started shifting the regimen to try to teach me how to get off of the medication that I was on, which is where my in-depth history kind of pulled me into this. It took a couple of years for me to actually listen, because growing up and spending 20 years of my life on medication, I was pretty much the doctors know best. They know what they're doing. Medication is good. I need it. I can't function off of it. Yada, yada, yada. I was basically trained to like, want, desire, and ensure that I had the medicine at all times to put in my system, because the universe would explode and everything would die and bad stuff would happen if I wasn't on some sort of drug. It was kind of just a bit of a learning turn when my turning point was when I tried to prove him wrong. I was pretty rude with him. Granted, he's a brother of mine. Him and I will always be brothers, because he stuck by me when I basically, ashamed to say this, I kind of gave him the middle finger a few times and said he doesn't know anything. Turns out when I tried to prove him wrong, I ended up being wrong. And I came back 3 years later and basically said, I've tried to call crap on everything you've told me, and it turns out I've been the one who's been wrong every time. So I started looking into freedom of medication and basically medicating through fitness, through nutrition, and through vitamins, minerals, and herbal supplementation, because what he was teaching me was the medications are artificial versions of the stuff we already are supposed to be taking. They're nothing but chemicals. So when I started looking into it, I basically learned how our system is supposed to work, how the plants that are grown on the planet are actually designed to sustain us, like a planet is designed to sustain its life. So it's supposed to literally sustain us. And if you look back into like more primal cultures, primal may be the wrong word, but I'm having lack of words for the moment. the less civilized cultures, they didn't go around mixing chemicals and alchemy and producing things for us to take for our brains. You know, if one of their kids had depression or something, they would go get something like valerian root or St. John's wort, which are both roots, and they would ground them up, put them in a drink, and have their children drink that. And it would help to level out the brain. They weren't into mixing things, throwing stuff in the head and saying, deal with it, it's a side effect, whatever, just take this, it's going to work. They used what they had, not what they spent hours experimenting on to discover. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went towards that path because one of the things I've hated about medication is that there's always a side effect. You will never take a medication that does not have some side effect. And I was always taught, you just have to learn to live with it because that's just how it is. And I will say right now, when people say to me, it's just how it is or it's always been, those two phrases will irritate me because I cannot stand it, because it sounds like a brick way of saying, I don't want something new. I don't like change. This is easier. Quit trying to make something better and just leave it where I'm comfortable and let it stay here because I don't like anything else. Yeah. So when people tell me, medication is just how it is, medication is always how it's been, you'll have to learn to cope with it because that's just how it is, I kind of feel like smacking somebody with a frying pan.
You know, it's funny because I get that. I was never a fan of, you know, taking medications because it was just, I would always refer to just, you know, trading one problem for another, really. It's, you know, why would you want to do that? And, you know, that's just how I thought about it. And, you know, I completely agree with you. But first, I want to like back up a bit. I did hear your story a little bit through Olga. And, you know, I just want to say you're very resilient, first of all. And, you know, the fact that, you know, you came back to your friend and you admit your faults for trying to prove him wrong, that's a very humble gesture. Not many men can do. So I just want to commend you on that, first of all. And then, yeah, secondly, you know, Hippocrates, I think it was he who said that, you know, medicine, it comes from our food. We can literally heal ourselves. And just going back, touching upon that sustainability thing, like it just blew my mind how I didn't know that prescription drugs were just artificial, I guess, representations of what is supposed to be naturally going into our body through via like medicine, like plant medicine, plant life, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. When I look at the ingredients and I look at the purpose, what I see is that like medicine, it was born with the purpose to do the same thing that herbal supplements do. But the thing about medicine is if you take an herb, like if you take valerian, for instance, there are no side effect warnings on the root because the root is not designed to interact with the body. So here's how I simplify it. What is a side effect? A side effect is your body's reaction to the chemical saying, what is this? I don't like it. Get it out of me. Mm-hmm. Because reactions are not just some normal thing. Like if you have chronic migraines, that's not just how your brain functions. That is chronic inflammation, which means that something is causing your brain and your blood vessels to swell. Yeah. Something is causing a reaction. So when you take medication, you're taking an artificial chemical, they're all lab made. You're taking a lab made form of something from the earth that's been tainted, changed, and chemically altered and putting it in your system. So you're getting the same benefit of that herb, but then you get things like drowsiness, headaches, nosebleeds, nausea, stomach problems, your nerves fire off randomly, which is called neuropathy. And what do the doctors say? That's just a small little thing. What it is you're putting something in your body and your body's saying, I don't like it. Get it out. It's messing with your system. It's not supposed to. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I think there's some sort of, I'm going to call it a delusion because that's what I honestly believe it is. I think there's some sort of delusion that we've believed from the medicine industry that is chemicals are stronger, and if they're stronger, they're better for you. So if it's stronger and it's better for you, you should take the chemical. Herbs are weak and they don't do anything, so go to the chemicals instead, if you kind of see the trap I'm trying to reveal.
Yeah, that's it goes back to just instant like satisfaction, I guess, like trying to solve a problem right then and there to not have to worry about it and enjoy, you know, rather than have to go through the entire process of just being healthy and hope like and take that approach like that you do, right? The holistic approach where just be mindful of every single damn thing that you put in your body so that you don't have to, you know, more prevention, I guess, right? Rather than intervention. You know, that's
right. The aim is not to wait for the problem to happen and then try to fix it.
Right.
If you have a car, are you going to wait for the transmission to break and then go and try and fix it? Or should you probably try and take it into the shop sooner and have maintenance done on it so it doesn't break in the first place? Because when things break, they cost more time, they cost more money, and they cost more effort to fix, and sometimes they have to be replaced. Well, I hate to break this to you, but if you have to get something in your body replaced, that is not a good sign. That's a very bad sign. You want to keep it maintained because you only have one life. So unlike a car, where when your car breaks down, you can go buy a new car, you can't really go up to heaven and say, God, here's $400 million. I'm ready for a second chance at life. He's going to go, I gave you one body, one life. You didn't take care of it very well. Well, and then when you try to make an excuse like I had, well, they did this, it's their fault. He's going to say, why are you making excuses? It was your body. Yes, some people made choices for you when you were younger, but you were an adult now. You were making your own choices. You were still doing what they told you to, and you didn't bother to see if maybe it was wrong. We're always supposed to learn, aren't we? Are we told, believe everything we hear, or are we told, verify it, look into it, check to see if it's right? Because humans are known for making mistakes all the dang time. Solomon himself, King Solomon, made plenty of mistakes. He was the wisest man, aside from Yeshua, to ever walk the earth, but that man made mistakes himself. So you don't want to take everything you hear for granted. And I will say this, it'll probably make somebody mad, but the pharmaceutical industry produces the material to train the med students to sell their stuff. So when you go to the doctor and you say, I have this really bad anxiety, and they throw things like Lisinopril at you, what they're doing is saying, you have a symptom, I'm going to put a Band-Aid over it. If the Band-Aid's over it, the symptom isn't there, your problem is solved. Just keep taking this and the Band-Aid stays on. Is it really doing anything useful? No.
Absolutely,
it's hiding
not, yeah.
Something, not fixing the issue.
Yeah. That's a great point. And I just want to take you back to, you know, your journey when you, you know, so after you met your friend and, you know, he kind of opened this whole new world up to you, you know, talk us through that journey and like, how did you start fixing everything? Like, how did you start, you know, getting off of all the prescription medicine and then, you know, getting back onto the journey that you are with, you know, being a personal trainer?
I spent the first 5 years of it on medication. I didn't get off of it because when I had learned how bad it was, I was still too scared to get off it because I was being told the same thing over and over again, which is you're bipolar. Bipolar people go psychotic when they don't have medicine. You need to take it. And I was in a position where it wasn't a lot of – there's too much pressure on too many areas to go off of it at the time, and I wasn't sure if I'd be able to handle it. So I went off of all my medication actually last year in September on the 20th because I finally I had conversations with people. I was gaining education. And after learning a few things about the medication that I had recently taken that could have killed me when I went off and nobody told me, it was actually a friend who was also training me who told me that the medication I went cold turkey off of could have killed me and I wouldn't have had any warning signs. It would have been sudden. I had decided that I was done taking anything. And I'd spent the previous 3 to 4 years learning all I could about medications, what they all do, what they really do, not, well, this helps anxiety. Well, how does this help anxiety? What exactly does it do? If you give me lisinopril and say it's going to help with anxiety, the first thing I'm going to say is how? What is the purpose? What does it do? I know medication affects the brains and the chemicals. Which chemical? Well, if that medication affects serotonin levels, that means serotonin is what usually is related to anxiety. So lack of serotonin is one of the causes of anxiety. If it's low, serotonin is what keeps you level. Mm-hmm. So anti-anxiety medications, antidepressants, and even the antipsychotics, they manipulate your serotonin levels to keep you supposedly stable. So when I had learned what chemicals they manipulate and what chemicals they alter, lessen, and stabilize, then I learned how to boost those chemicals through nutrition and through fitness. I learned that cardio gives you runner's high, which increases serotonin. Mm-hmm. I also developed a theory that I have been testing, but I need to go talk to one of my other teachers to make sure I have this verified proof, because I don't want to go spitting information that turns out to be false, is that when you do heavy resistance training and you really, really tax those muscles to where they hurt and you rip them, your brain also releases serotonin and I believe possibly some dopamine into your system to give you a sort of relaxed but kind of equivalent to runner's high. I call it lifter's high because I feel like I'm drugged up and it feels really nice. But I learned what I eat and how to lift, how to replicate the same things that those medications replicate or that those medications offer. But mine lasts longer. Mine doesn't have side effects, mm-hmm. and it has a long period where it stays. Granted, there are the emotional and the circumstantial factors that will shift things, but I learned something that, and this was recent that I learned this from a friend who has the credentials to actually say this, and this is the changing point in the game. Mental illness is not really real. When I say that, what I'm not saying is it's all in your head, get over it. What I'm saying is mental illness is actually symptoms of your body reacting to what's going in. And there are a few things that I know of that cause things related to symptoms of schizophrenia and psychosis.
Wow. I love that. My freaking mind is blown. I could like talk about this all freaking day with you. You know, but I did have a quick question about, you know, when you're weaning off the prescription medication, was there like a technique? I remember seeing a documentary, I think, on this, and where they had to shave some of the pills off before they can fully cut it off. Is that true? Is that something that you had to do?
By shave, do you mean remove some but not all and do it in a slow amount?
Yeah.
Yes. So what you don't want to do, and I've watched people do this, this is what is considered unsafe. And I've been down this road before. Luckily, nothing happened to me. Mm-hmm. By God's grace, I didn't kill myself doing this. But you never, ever want to go cold turkey. If you decide to, which I never suggest because I know the risks of it, an anti-anxiety medication that you take as needed is okay, because it's as needed. But if you ever take something consistently every day and it builds up in your system, what happens is when you go straight cold turkey, it's like a heroin withdrawal.
Yeah.
Your body goes into complete shock and doesn't know what to do because those medications are potent. What you do is you start with one medication, you chop the dose in half, you do that for about a week to a week and a half. Then when your body is used to that, it's called titrating off.
That's what when it's
When you reduce that, you chop that in half again. So you keep going half and half and half and half until you're at like a really, really tiny dose that like when you hold it in your fingers, it's like hard to hold because it's so small. Mm-hmm. You do that for about 2 weeks and then you go off. Now, you start that with one of your medications. You don't do that with multiple of them. I wouldn't advise that because it's going to be an intense drop-off of chemicals. Do that with each one. One thing you don't want to do with medication is you don't want to rush through it. You don't want to hurry up and see how fast you can wean off it because you can't forcefully rush your body off of something. You can do that with things like food because a dopamine addiction, going through a withdrawal of that is not going to kill you. You'll be fine going through a dopamine withdrawal because your brain produces dopamine. Mm-hmm. But like, what did they say with heroin? You don't just straight strip.
Yeah.
You need to have something else in your system to help titrate off. It doesn't mean inject heroin, but with psychotropic drugs, if you go straight off that, you will do a lot of damage and it can either hospitalize you or it can kill you. I was on some of the really hardcore psychotropic drugs, and had I done that, I could have actually been hospitalized for it because it's a dangerous pull from the brain. When I did that with mirtazapine, I was borderline edging on hallucinating. I didn't know what was going on in my head. It just felt really weird. And I was expecting to see like a random person behind me that I could almost touch. Oh, and when I talked to one of my trainers, what he said was that medication, when you go cold turkey off of it, can cause an aneurysm or a stroke. And you won't have any warning. It'll just happen like that, which I got pretty mad when I didn't know. But that's the risk of taking mental health drugs. A lot of them, they're meant to build up in your system, stay there for a while in case you miss a dose or two. But what happens? What is the risk of that? You go off of it, your brain depletes the stored up resources, and then immediately freaks out. And it's not just your brain. Like, you may be afraid of, well, what if I have a psychotic attack? Your brain is not the only thing you need to worry about. Those meds mess with so many other things, not just your head.
Damn, man. And like, honestly, like, thank God that you're still here. And, you know, thank God for your buddy who kind of opened you up for your eyes into this world. Cause I couldn't even imagine. And I'm sure there's so many people out there who have lost, you know, their children and, you know, to this psychotropic drugging. And I just can't fathom anyone having to go through that. So like, it's just amazing how resilient you are. And I think this is a perfect segue because we talked earlier a little bit about your history, and you know having gone through being a child of a divorce, and there's a lot of home stuff going on in your house. I guess your dad, you know, took it up on himself to kind of you know, instill these drugs on you, right?
Yeah. So my family was broken when I was very young. My mother actually left when I was 3. I may have the age wrong because it was so long ago I can barely remember. I have like very few memories because those drugs mess with my head. Mm-hmm. But she left when I was 3, and they officially got divorced, I think, when I was 5. And I started having behavioral problems when I was 7. Because little boys are like, they're drawn to both parents, but they're especially, it's very common for a little boy to be drawn to his mother, mommy's boy, if that makes sense.
No, I completely understand that. They say that the mother and the son connection is the most like strongest spiritually. So I completely
get it. It is. Yeah. My mother is my go-to parent. She has been ever since I was a kid. The only reason why I was actually, to be honest, the only reason why I didn't go to juvie as a kid was because I listened to her. My dad actually had to call her and get her to tell me what to do when I wouldn't listen to him, because I would listen to her as soon as she told me to do anything. Mm-hmm. So he, in an attempt to get me to do what he wanted and make me easier to deal with, he and my stepmother, at the time, she thought it was the best option. He was just doing it for control. Yeah. He had me taken to a doctor who diagnosed me with about 6 different mental illnesses, at which point I was immediately started on Ritalin and then just bounced and bounced and bounced. It was his attempt to control my behavior and make me easier to deal with, while he spent most of his time trying to turn my younger brother and I against my mother, because when my mother left him, it made him look bad. In the 90s, if your wife left you, it made you look like a bad guy, and you need to maintain your good reputation. So she needed to take the heat and look like the bad person, so he looked like a good guy. So he spent time trying to turn us against her. He succeeded on my older brother early on, about 7 or 10. My brother like rejected her completely. He tried on me next, but I started going to mom and asking her questions. She just told me the truth. So when she was telling me the things he didn't want me to know, he started pushing against me and started getting mad because I wasn't taking his side. And when I hit my teenage years, that's when it got messy because my dad basically created a war between him and my mother. And since my mother wouldn't participate in the war and fight back, he brought me into it, his children. And when he succeeded on one but failed on the other, he decided to take his anger and his wrath out on the child he wasn't succeeding on, because in the 90s, with a man who has reputation and a good standing, it needs to be his way. He needs to have his way. Everything needs to work out in his the way he wants. And his famous mentality is, in my house, I'm God, I'm right, you're wrong. Be quiet, agree with me, tell me I'm right, and tell me you like it. And if he calls you bad names, you have to tell him thank you and you want to hear it again. He's Don't ask me why his mind does that. I'm still trying to figure that out because it makes no sense. But I understand why his first wife left him, and his second wife spent the first five or ten years of her marriage wanting to slap her husband with a frying pan.
Oh, jeez. There's a lot of dynamic that you just mentioned there that I hope other men listening in, if you are in that situation, if this could open your eyes up and just give you another perspective, you might be able to save your son or your daughter, a little bit of grief. I mean, just listening to, all the stuff that you'd been through, I can't even believe it, dude. And I keep going back to the word resilient because I honestly truly think that's what you are. And it's amazing, your story. And, it has me a little bit choked up because I can't imagine, why, parents would go to that length, to use their kids as pawns, really. And, it happens more frequently than not. Sadly, it does. Mm-hmm. I really hope that somebody on the other end is just listening in. And if you guys are in this type of situation, like, you guys are probably doing more, you are doing more harm than good. And, hopefully this can give you guys a little bit of perspective. So just
can I give a secret?
Sorry?
Can I give a secret?
Yeah. Give the secret, man.
For you men out there, whoever's listening, I have a secret for you that may change the game. This is coming from experience of a man who his head is hard to figure out. But if you struggle with a child who, they fight you or they fight the other parent, and you just can't figure out how to control your kid, how to make them listen, how to make them happy, don't try to make them. Because when they're fighting around like that, what they're trying to do is they're trying to find footing somewhere. So if you're in a divorce and your child is acting out, understand this. What's going on is the child is in the middle of the energy coming from the both of you. Their family was just broken in half. Mommy and daddy aren't together anymore. I don't know what to do. I'm with mommy. Sometimes she says bad things, or I'm with daddy and sometimes he says bad things. When one of them says bad things about the other, your children are very easily imprinted on. If mommy is saying bad things about daddy, and I'm with mommy most of the time, I might start believing what mommy says because I don't know any better. Then when I come and see daddy, if daddy says the same thing, what you're basically doing is feeding your child negative information on both sides. A parent should never get their child to hate another parent. Since you're all men, I can easily separate this. If your children are being told bad things about you by your ex, you don't need to combat that by poisoning them against their ex. You simply need to love your children. Let your sons and your daughters know that you love them. They should never grow up questioning that, because I don't know if my dad did. I still don't know. The man said it to me maybe 3 times in my life. I can barely remember it, and I'm positive it's because he thought it's what he was supposed to say to seem like a good dad. I don't know what it's like to be loved by an earthly father, because mine never displayed the traits. My mother, on the other hand, did. If you love your child, raise them up properly, instill them with honor, integrity, and honesty. Show them what it means to love when someone else treats them like crud, and show them that they're safe to be with you. They may not feel safe with the other parent. I never felt safe around my dad. I always felt like I was under attack, like I was under pressure, and like the man just wanted to throw me into a wall and take an axe and hack me to pieces because he wasn't getting his way. Mm-hmm. You want your children to draw near you? Make them realize you were a safe place. Whatever mommy says, you're welcome here. However mommy treats you, you're safe here. You're my child. I love you. Always know that. And I will protect you whenever you are here. You want your children to be happy. Give them the happy environment. I didn't know what happiness and joy actually felt like until I left my dad's house when I turned 18 and moved in with my mother. Because I came down that first morning and I actually smiled. And the first thing she said was, "That's a pretty big smile you got on your face." I know what it's like to come from a house that is filled with darkness and torture because I lived it for 18 years. Give your kids the safe place. Make sure that they understand that you love them and hug them all the time. I mean, seriously, do not be afraid to hug your children, especially your boys. You can get them to run up to you and jump and give you a huge hug. Do that frequently because boys need to be taught how to be men by you. That is your charge. You were given your boys. Raise them up to be how they should and teach them how gentlemen are supposed to be. Not men, gentlemen, a unique breed. That's my secret.
I love it, man. That's just perfect and just great and beautiful advice. It sounds, you know, at the end of the day, it's just love your kids, you know, love them with all of your heart, with no anger riddled in there, with no jealousy or revenge. You know, that's, I think that's just perfect, man. And, all right, we're going to take you to a part of the show. I want to get to know you a little bit more. I feel like I already know you a lot, but I do want to get to know you a little bit more. And so this is a part of the show where I ask you random 5 questions and, we're just going to lighten the mood a little bit. And, yeah, man, how do you feel?
Perfect. Let's do it.
All right. If you could be any animal in the world, what animal would you choose and why would you choose that animal?
Dog, easily. Dogs are loyal. They have unconditional love, and dog spelled backwards is God.
I love it. That's awesome. That was one of the best answers we've had so far. That's awesome, man. What is your favorite book, or is there something that you're reading right now that you'd like to share with us?
I am actually really glad you asked that question. There are only, besides the Bible, which is my favorite book, and I'm sure you can figure out why, a brother of mine wrote a book that I have the absolute pleasure of reading, and it is an amazing book. It is called The Mount of Olives. The author is Michael V. Ivanov, a very close friend, and I consider him and his brother's family. They're not really friends to me. They're my family. It is 11 declarations of an extraordinary life, and I kid you not, when you read this, it goes right past your face, it goes right past your brain, and it goes straight down into the soul, because this is a child of Yeshua who wrote this book. It is not an ordinary man, but a unique one.
I love it. I have read that book. Michael Ivanov is actually on my radar. I asked him to do the podcast with me too. He's coming on the show, so I can't wait to have him on too. He is an amazing, amazing dude, like you said, and I've read that book. And the way that you described it was perfect, and it couldn't be so true, because it really did go straight to my soul. I honestly couldn't put the book down. It was an amazing, amazing read. So that was an awesome, awesome answer. So can't wait to have him on. All right, the third question. If you could hop on a plane right now and go anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
That's a good one. You know, my normal impulse is to say Norway because I have Norwegian heritage and I love the Vikings. But oddly enough, when you asked me that, the first thing that came to my heart, actually, not my mind, was England. And I think maybe it's because there's a lot of pain and a lot of misery on that side. And I think I might be being pulled in that direction because of my story and because wow. I don't know, I feel pulled there.
That's awesome. And, you know, I love how you answered with your heart, because that's how we get to know people, right? When we be our most true, vulnerable self, we can be our true, authentic self. So I love that answer. Maybe you do have a calling out there, but, you know, just bring an umbrella. Rains a lot.
Right?
Well, you're out in the West anyway, in the West Coast. It rains out there too, so it's not that bad of a difference, I don't think. So, awesome, awesome. All right. Do you have any weird eating habits? Is there something that you have to do? Because I know when I was a kid, I had this, like, thing with Ruffles potato chips. I had to, like, eat it, like, ripple by ripple. And I don't know. It's just, do you have anything weird like that?
Yes, actually, I do. But I have a couple because I am kind of an odd person. I have the exact same thing with the Ruffles, ripple by ripple. But I have one. Can't remember what food. I think it's the Lay's potato chips. For whatever reason, when I put one in my mouth, I break it on the roof of my mouth. I don't know why. Every time, I just push my tongue up and break it on the roof of my mouth.
Cool, man. Like, that's why I ask these things, because that's something I've never heard of, too. But, I mean, maybe it's just the satisfaction of the salt getting on your tongue, maybe. All on. I don't know. Maybe. I'm just guessing here.
That may be what it is, but I have a really bad fascination with chocolate. Like, I can't get myself to stop eating it.
No way. Well, you know, if I could offer some advice, I remember I took someone told me, he's like, if you could take chocolate and treat it like a recreational drug, you're fine.
So that's kind of what I've been doing, and I bought a bag last night, and I go, we're not touching this for 4 months now because you've bought three of these in the past 3 weeks. No more.
Awesome. All right, so I'll remember that. So Lay's potato chips and chocolate. If I ever see you, I will have some of that.
Right. It'll be an. Are you going for chocolate over there? Yes. No, not anymore.
Awesome. Okay. If you had to meet someone who is dead right now, who would it be? And it doesn't have to be like a family member or someone famous. It could be anyone who's just passed away, and you just wanna meet them.
Can I use a very unique example, and it's not going to quite make sense, but you'll have to hear the reason why.
Absolutely, man. Let's do it.
Yeshua.
Okay, and why?
He did die. He did. He was raised. But what happened? He left. I have never met anyone. I have never heard about anyone or ever known anyone who has made the most powerful impact in history besides Yeshua and displayed the only truth that no one else could counter. People tried. Satan himself even tried and failed. In the end, after all of his efforts, Satan unknowingly gave Yeshua the championship belt as he died on the cross and basically said, you win, I give up. If I could meet anybody in person, it would be the king. Humans are great. Humans are awesome. There are a lot of wonderful humans in history, but there are none like the Son of God who came to form in man.
Awesome. That's a freaking great answer. And, you know, I think that would be one of the first ones on my list as well, too. I just have so many damn questions. Like, so many.
Right?
Right? Awesome, man. Okay, I really appreciate that. That concludes our random five. That's why we do it, because, you know, like I said, I'd like to get to know you, and I'm sure the guests want to know you a little bit too as well. And, you know, my next question is, like, how can they find you if they want to, like, ask you questions? You know, I'm sure you're completely open. I know that you're great at getting back to people. So, yeah, how can people get in touch with you if they want to know more?
I have three methods. I apologize for my lack of business professionality, but because I'm starting organic, I didn't have everything lined up for me. I do most of mine right now through my Facebook page, which if you have Robin here on Facebook, you can find me there too, because I'm also connected. But then I have my email, which is adamchurchill@comcast.net. And then I have my phone number, which I used to be hesitant about that, but now I figure, you know, if I get weird calls, I have a hang up button and I have a block button. It's not difficult. So my phone number, if you wish to call or text, is 503 310 8497. You can feel free to get a hold of me in any way. If you decide to call and I immediately hang up, I will get back to you. Please just leave me a message so I know who called. But sometimes I run into things where people call me and I'm busy and cannot answer, but I try to get back to everyone as soon as I can. But please feel free to reach out to me because I love to meet new people and I am all about helping people to make a difference in the kingdom.
I love it, man. I think you're the first one who's ever left a phone number, so that's freaking awesome. That is super awesome. All right, I'll put all those links and that phone number in the show notes so you guys can get a hold of Adam in one click or text, and you guys can ask him anything. He's just of service, and I love connecting with people like that because that's just who I roll with. And so, yeah, man, I just want to take a time, like a little bit of a moment to, you know, commend you on your story, man. Like, I know you have so much more to it, so I'd love to get you back on the show and maybe talk a little bit more so about that. But yeah, man, you're just, I keep going back to resilient, and you know, you're super humble. You're a very, very like generous dude. And you know, I really, really appreciate, you having, you know, taking your time to come out on the show and, you know, giving us your wisdom and your experience, because I think, it's very much needed in this community. And so I really, really appreciate that, man. And, is there anything you need from me, my brother?
Honestly, the only thing I would ask is just, you know, keep getting me out there and keep connecting me to people. That's all I really need, because my exposure is really just all that I'm after. I just want people, basically my aim is I just want people to know that I'm a real person. I exist. There's much I can do to help people, and I'm about Yeshua. I'm not about me. I'm not about how much money can I make, how much influence can I have, how much can people love me. My goal is this: if I can help you and you look at me and you see the Son of God instead of the person, my job is done right. If I can bless you and further the kingdom, that is all I care about. I may run a business, but it is not about me and my needs. It's about you, your needs, and how I can bring you closer to Him.
I love that, man. And for sure, we're going to be staying connected, and we're going to definitely, you know, brush shoulders. I can't wait to make it out to the West. I have so many people out there to see, so I can't wait to definitely connect with in person. You'll have all of that, man. I fully support you, my brother. And so the last question I ask everyone, and I'm going to throw a little twist on it, and I know you went and touched a little bit upon that, but I mean, if you could give a little piece of advice to a child of divorce, like somebody going through maybe a hard time right now, and what is that one piece of advice that you could give them that will really, really change the way that they look at the divorce?
A simple one, but a deep one: don't hate. And the reason I say this is because when I left my house, my dad's house in 2009, I developed first anger, then resentment, then I end up hating the man. I did. I full-blown hated him to the point of, ashamed to say this, but there's no point in hiding things because transparency shows honesty. At one point, I was at the stage where I had no problem killing him because I was so mad. I would have done it. However, hatred is a tool of the enemy. So to a child who is divorced, don't hate mommy and don't hate daddy. Let them do their things because they're having their own battle. You hating one or the other doesn't help you, and it doesn't help them. Your job is not to hate your parents so much that you want them to go burn in hell or jump off a cliff. Your job is to try and honor them both to the best of your ability. Try to love them as a child is meant to love your parents, and let them work out their own mess. The divorce is not between the battle of a divorce is not between the mom, the dad, and the child. The battle of a divorce is between the marriage of the mom and the dad. It's got nothing to do with the child. So for you, if you are divorced, or if you are a child of divorce, understand that that mess is not directly related to you. You are the portion they're now trying to figure out how to handle, because you are the package that bonds the two together. So the conflict doesn't involve you. The aftermath does involve you. And understand that if your parents treat you badly, try to think of it this way: they may be trying to work out their own junk, and nobody's perfect. Parents have many issues. If a parent just got divorced and they're stressed and they're angry and they take it out on you, They're not looking at you and saying it's your fault, you're a bad son or you're a bad daughter. What they're saying is, I have poor skills right now in managing my frustration and my anger, and I'm taking it out on you because you're the closest target. It's not always intentional. Sometimes it is. Your job is to love your parents. Your job is to try and be understanding and to grow. And when you get older and you become an adult, go back to them. Let them know that you still love them. Let them know that they're still important to you, that you care, and that you forgive them. Your forgiving them is not, you know, wiping their slate clean. Our forgiveness does nothing for the eternal sin. But you telling that to your parent says, I'm okay with what happened. I'm over it. And I forgive you. And I care more about the relationship that we now have as an adult versus the pain we went through as a child. So just trust, learn to have peace, learn to keep love in your heart, and follow God. Above all else, follow God. Because if you don't, you will develop hatred.
I love it, man. That's well said. And thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you, bro.
Thank you so much. It was an honor.
Boom. There you have it, guys. Adam Churchill. Go and text him right now. He's the first guy to ever drop his actual phone number on here. So to make sure to connect with him. He's over on Facebook as well. He's up to just awesome, awesome things. And I know he'll make an impact in the world. So can't wait to have him on back on the show. All right, guys. Rob, your host, signing off. Peace out.